This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy joined by Matt Baxendale. Oh, buddy, a lot to get into. I love looking at this Ohio State roster because it is extremely talented and extremely deep. Is corner the deepest position on this team? Might it be defensive tackle, defensive end, safety, running back, something else, quarterback? Bax and I are going to get into that. Your thoughts on that. Before we do that, I'll let you guys know about our new sponsor that we've been telling you about the last couple days, Mando Bourbon Leather. You know, bourbon leather. That's like some manly stuff right there.
What is bourbon leather?
This is some body wash. I also have deodorant. This is their body wash. It's bourbon leather. It smells tremendous. And they got a great deal for you guys. My guys, do you ever lift a little too hard or just forget to apply your daily deodorant and get hit by a truckload of BO from all directions? Does that three-in-one shampoo leave you needing a second shower just a few hours after the first? From the founders of Lumi, Mando Whole Body Deodorant is helping men conquer their odor in a new way. Formulated with mandelic acid, Mando has long-lasting 72-hour odor control that actually stops odor before it starts. Pro tip, try their best-selling scent, bourbon leather. It's a game changer. And we have a special offer for you. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUCKNUTS at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. Again, luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code BUCKNUTS at shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Bam. All right. Is corner the deepest? And I'm not just talking like bodies. When we talk, like, I'm not talking depth. I'm talking like high-end talent. Like when Jermaine Matthews is the number four corner, Calvin Simpson Huntbacks was the number seven corner recruit in the country, number 70 overall recruit in the country in the 2023 class. Entering his second year, he's the number five corner. So you got Denzel Burke, Davison Igbinosin, Jordan Hancock, who I'm still considering a corner, even a slot corner. Still, he could be an outside corner. He's a fantastic slot corner. He could be a good outside corner if he wanted to be. Jermaine Matthews, Calvin Simpson Hunt. Then you got the true freshmen, you know, who are highly rated, but I don't think they're going to play this year. Aaron Scott, Bryce West, Miles Lockhart. Is corner the deepest position on this team, or is it something else?
Anytime that we are in the modern era at Ohio State and you talk about deepest position on the team, I cannot do anything other than look right at wide receiver. I just can't. At the end of the day, now the cornerback position, the depth is unbelievable. I would say at the top, this is the best set of secondary players we've had ready to rock and roll on the field all at once since the 2016 season, when you had Gerrion Conley, when you had Marshon Lattimore. You know, that was an unbelievable year. I think we had three first-round eventual corners on there on the field that year, and then we had what first-round safety and a fifth-round safety or something. So that starting five trio in secondary was unreal. This is the best year we've had since then. So it's certainly not any knock on the cornerbacks to say that they maybe aren't the deepest position. It's only just saying I have a lot of trouble saying a wide receiver group, the room that we have that has Egbuka, that has Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon McGinnis. I mean, it's just, it gets nuts, you know, having all these guys on there and then all the young guys. I mean, you can make an argument for corner, but you can really make an argument at this point too for wide receiver. So it'll be really interesting. And by the way, I would also throw out, Trayvon Henderson, Kutchon Judkins, and then here's Dallin Hayden. That's a pretty good trio of tailbacks too. So we got a lot of deep positions on this team, Dave.
Yeah, wide receiver. I was like, others receiving votes, because I was going to go with corner, but it's so close. I mean, there's really not a wrong answer here, because you could go with wide receiver easily, because one of these four is going to be the number four wide receiver on the team. Well, not one of the four. Emeka won't be. Emeka's going to be number one. So one of these three guys will be the number four wide receiver, either Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, or Brandon Ennis, as you just articulated. Well, one of those guys will be the number four receiver. Jaden Ballard's number five.
Yeah.
You easily can make that argument. Also, running back, you nailed it. Don't forget James Peoples. When James Peoples is your number four tailback, you're loaded. He can come right in here and play. We know tailback's one of those positions. You can come right in as a true freshman and play. Backs, I mean, in safety, Jahad Carter was a good player at Syracuse.
He's an all-ACC player at Syracuse.
He's a backup. A backup as a fifth-year senior. I mean, Malik Hartford's banged up right now. He'll be a backup as a second-year player. Normally, you'd be saying, okay, he plays a true freshman, I'm in a second year, and Malik Hartford's going to be a good, you know, he'll be a good starter this year. Normally, we would be saying that and would be correct. Not when Caleb Bounds and Lathan Ransom are here.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
You can make an argument that our secondary overall, Dave, is the deepest position if you include the safeties, because there's no arguing it at that point, you know.
Defensive line, though, let's break this down. Okay, defensive end. You got the both returning starters in Tui Moloau, and you've got Jack Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry still.
Caden Curry is going to be so
entering
your
third year. I mean, that is
so good.
That's ridiculous. Mitchell Melton's a guy we all forget about. He's looking good right now. He's all like yoked up at about 260. Looking good out there as a fifth-year senior. He's like maybe the number five D end. And you look at D tackle, Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton are your starters. Love that. Then you've got Hero Canoe, Caden McDonald, I think will be the top two backups.
Tywan Malone. Yeah.
Tywan Malone might be your number five. I mean, D line is – there's not a wrong answer. You could make the argument D-line is your deepest position.
Yeah, any argument but offensive line at this point, really. I mean, even you took look at tight – you could argue tight end. We got tight four end. Guys that can play even, right?
Quarterback.
There's a lot of guys there. Anything but O-line is really the answer at this point. Because even at linebacker, there's a lot of bodies that look like they have a ton of talent. And who's going to be who? We're just figuring that out right now. There's four linebackers that we look at right now between Styles, Powers, Hicks, and Simon. You're like, well, there's two starters there somewhere. So it's going to be real interesting to see how it all shapes up.
I love it. I mean, when we're having this, we're basically like we're naming every position group on the team except for offensive line. You know this team is ridiculously talented and deep. Doug, I think we already answered your question on Facebook. Doug on Facebook, what's the thinnest depth? I mean, they're not even that. The depth on the offensive line isn't terrible because it's just – I'm just not sold maybe on some of the starters yet.
If you don't have starters, you don't have depth. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah, it's interesting. But if
you just have bodies at that point.
If you tell me Luke Montgomery is going to hold it down at right guard as a sophomore, which I can believe that. If you can tell me that as a second-year guy, Josh Fryer, who was one of only three guys that got Iron Buckeye during the winter. A lot of guys, they said, did well, but Iron Buckeye is a very high bar. It was just Davis and Igbinosun, Sonny Styles, and Josh Fryer. So maybe as a second-year starter, fifth-year senior, Iron Buckeye, Josh Fryer is going to be solid at right tackle, Montgomery at right guard. So then you could even get into – so this – and by the way, we're talking about like this is the thinnest group on the entire team. Then Tegra. Yes. Tegra's a backup as a third-year guy. I see him out there. He looks like he's straight out of central casting for a right
tackle. He's always looked like he's straight out of central casting. Whether he's able to play is the big question. Has he figured it out, you know? And if he has, that's great because then that's an awesome sign. He was a top 40 player in the country coming out of high school.
And then presuming he sticks around, Hensman or McLaughlin – he's not. He'll stick around. One of those two will be a backup. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't consider Enoch Vamahi good depth. He's still here, and he's a very nice young man, sixth-year senior.
Body, though.
Yeah, that's a body. Yeah,
it's a body.
There's other guys that could come on. I'm sure I'm leaving some guys out, but yeah, there's some other guys that could come on. All right, moving right along. And I look more at this offensive line with Josh Simmons entering his second year as a starter, Donovan Jackson entering his third year coming back. I mean, I think Chip Kelly is going to, be a big boost for this offensive line. And again, this is the weakest point of the team, and we're going on about, it's really not that bad.
No, they should be. I think we all worry about the O-line because we see like just piles of excellence everywhere else. And whenever you have one spot that isn't, I think everybody automatically goes, please don't let that be what costs us. Please don't let that be what costs us. Because this year has – this may be the most set up Ohio State team going into a season that I can ever remember.
Seriously. It's so much fun to think about. It really is. I love that we're in the – well, they're taking this week off for spring break. I hope all the boys, if they're, in Florida –
behave.
Yes, please. I heard
behave.
Ryan – they gave them a good speech. Like you could hear like bits and pieces of it. Like the last practice, like Thursday when they were wrapping up, he was like telling them, listen, take care of yourselves. Like take care of your mind, take care of your body, do the right things. Like, Ryan Day just has a way about him. I love him. By the way, happy belated birthday to Coach Day. Yesterday was his birthday. Happy birthday, Coach Ryan Day. All right.
March birthdays rule.
Now, most, I think I'm an April birthday. I'm partial to April birthdays, but whatever.
March.
Spring, it's this time of same this time of the year. It's fan. It's gonna be 71 here in the capital city today, Bax. So I'll see you over at Zumbeezy Bay. We'll get some water slides in.
Little golf balls.
There you go. All right. I mean, like normally, I going in about a month ago, I thought there'd be very little chance all five scholarship quarterbacks would stay. I don't know if I feel that same way. I think there is a chance that all five scholarship quarterbacks will stay for at least this year. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Devin Brown's going to tell whether or not all five stay. I think if it comes out of camp and if Ryan Day does the thing where he doesn't officially name a starter and thinks then Devin Brown thinks he's still in the mix, he'll come back for fall practice to compete for that job, with Will Howard at that point. But I think the three younger guys aren't going anywhere. I mean, Keenholz just got here. The two right. True freshmen are here for a while. And even if you game it out, it still makes sense that both of them stick around. The big question at the end of the day is going to be, what happens with the Brown situation? Because I think we all expect Howard to be the starter. He didn't come here to be the backup, right? So if Howard comes in and he starts, then Brown is the guy who's your veteran backup. He can be sold on sticking around another year and trying to compete another year from now with Sayin and Noland and Keenholz for that job. I wouldn't be surprised if they all stuck around. But even long-term, like everybody looks at Sayin and Noland, and I don't think there's like some situation where, they're going to automatically transfer out if whoever doesn't win the job in a year's time, whenever Howard's gone, because you're going to have a huge multi-way battle the second that Howard's gone next year. And whether that's Devin Brown, whether that's Sayin, Noland, and Keenholz, whoever it is, it's going to be a mix. So there's a lot of incentive, I guess, in the short term for everybody to stick around at this point. Even though I think Howard and Brown are really the only two realistic options to start this fall. And even then, it's probably heavily on Howard.
By the way, I mean, because Buckeyes are involved here, obviously, because there's so many of them in the NFL. How much fun has NFL free agency been over the last 2 days? I was thinking it was probably the most active that I can remember. Now, like, NFL reporters are coming out saying, there's no debate. This is, like, by far the first, the most active first 2 days in NFL history in free agency. It gets better every year, and it doesn't even technically start until 4 o'clock today. I love how they call the first 2 days legal tampering. They should just call it like legal negotiation or whatever. Like it's just such a, it's such an oxymoron. But man, I mean, it's just been fast and furious. Some of your thoughts on where some of the Buckeyes are going? What do you think is going to happen with Justin Fields? A lot of smoke now that they might take Caleb Williams and keep Justin Fields.
Yeah, well, the Steelers were the obvious landing spot for Fields, and with them signing Russell Wilson for $1 million,
or Atlanta. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and in Atlanta now with Kirk Cousins there is the other spot too. I mean, Fields is a Georgia guy originally. Let's not forget that. So where is the obvious landing spot for him? There really isn't one. So at this point, if you are the Bears, I've been saying this, by the way, from the start. The obvious move, the smart move is draft Marvin or a tackle and keep Fields and let somebody else deal with the Caleb Williams show. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. But at the end of the day, keep Fields because I think he's actually good. I think he's actually going to be continue to be good for the Bears. They need to give him weapons. That's the problem has been he doesn't have anybody blocking for him, so he's running for his life, and he has like one receiver who's remotely competent. So again, if you're the Bears, be smart. Maybe you trade from first to third and you still get Marv and trade it for one of these quarterback teams that want to pick a young guy, I guess, up front. Or just take Marv. Take Marv number one. It won't be a mistake. Nobody's going to look at it as anything other than you pick the best receiver in the draft. So I don't know what they're going to do there, but I think Justin Fields doesn't look like he's moving anytime soon. And then the other one that's real interesting is what do you think is going to happen with Chase Young, Dave?
I think the Super Bowl helped him. I think he'd probably be looking at he might still be on a one-year prove-it deal, but it might be for more money than what, you know, having two sacks, you know, people overpay for whatever happens in the Super Bowl. Like having two sacks in the Super Bowl was huge for him. And having the pedigree of the former number two overall pick, that'll help him. Being young will help him. Just entering his fifth year. My guess is now he'll get a multiple-year contract, but it's interesting that he's not come off the board yet. So obviously he and his agent were looking for more years and or more money than what's out there. Mm-hmm. I still think he'll get, if it's just a one-year prove-it deal, I think he'll still, it'll be solid. Probably nothing more than 1 year, $9 million, something like that. I'll be curious to see guaranteed cash. I don't think he'll get more than $9 million, but somewhere right around there with some incentives maybe.
Yeah, that 8 to 10 range for 1 year from somebody, even if it's back from the Niners again, it just makes sense for him because I think everybody wants to see, for him it's not talent, it's consistency. They need 1 year to see that he can be a pro. I think that's the big thing watching him is because some games he's a stud and some games he's invisible. And I think they need more of the stud games and less of the invisible games for him to get big money. Talent-wise, he's got as much as anybody in the league.
Before I get to an Ohio State question, I will address this. Spider, my guy, Spider Sillery, are the Bengals scoring in free agency? Dave, they're doing a solid job so far, you know, but they need two D tackles and a right tackle. And 2D tech could be re-signing DJ Reader and then finding a good backup 3 tech behind DJ or BJ Hill and then get a right tackle and also draft a right tackle. And then you have one of those guys you can feel comfortable with. Draft a right tackle at number 18 and maybe you get a guy like Mekhi Becton on a one-year prove-it deal also at right tackle. Once they do that, I think the Bengals will be having a really good free agency period. All right, I'm gonna get to this.
They're still in the loaded AFC North, Dave.
God, our AFC North just keeps getting tougher. I mean, my God, I think Browns fans, Bengal fans, and Steeler fans were all united when we saw the Derrick Henry news yesterday. We were like, oh no, like no.
Called that a couple months ago, but yes.
You called it, but still, I thought it was a possibility. I still didn't want to see it official.
No, I didn't want to see it ever.
I didn't want to see Derrick Henry going to the damn Ravens.
The Ravens always make what I consider to be really smart, and I hate them moves. They're always so good at building their team. And, like, I was sitting here like, oh, my God, the Steelers got a real quarterback. We're not stuck with Kenny Pickett. Oh, my God, we stole Patrick Queen from the Ravens. This is the best offseason ever as a Steeler fan. And here comes Derrick Henry. And I'm like, son of a.
I know. I thought, like, when Ozzie Newsome retired, okay, finally, they're going to drop off as far as the – player personnel department or they'll still be arguably the best in the NFL. Keep in mind, Lamar Jackson was the last pick of the first round. You had guys like Bill Polian saying he should have been a wide receiver. How's that looking? Two-time MVP. Ugh. And J.K. Dobbins would have been a great pick in the second round if he didn't have those two injuries. He had two bad injuries, Achilles and a knee injury, or that would have been a great pick. They just re-signed Malik Harrison, former Buckeye, the Ravens did. So that's good to see that Malik
Patrick Queen was a second rounder, Dave. Even losing him here, he's unbelievable value for a second rounder as long as they had him.
Who's that?
Patrick Queen, when the Ravens drafted him, was a second rounder. That's awesome value for him.
Oh, was he? Oh, he wasn't a first rounder?
I think he was a second rounder.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, that guy fell? Oh. Every time I see a guy falling in the draft, I'm like, oh, God, he's going to end up in New England or in the Ravens.
Your Steelers do a good job overall, too.
They're really good at drafting defense. They also picked Kenny Pickett, the most obvious bust of the last 10 years in the first round. So I don't want to give them any credit for picking Small Hands Pit Boy because the Yinzers wanted him. It was a terrible pick. I did tell everybody that before they took him. So Bengals, at least they took a tackle last year in Broderick Jones. And he's at least going to be good. Do that again in the first round.
I thought that was a good pick. I wanted the Bengals to get him. I knew he wasn't going to fall to the Bengals last year because they had like the 28th pick last year. So I know he wasn't going to fall, but I like that pick for you guys. And then the Bengals are so hit and miss, man, in the draft. So sometimes they'll have great drafts, and then they'll have drafts where they get like Jackson Carmen in the second round. I knew right away that was going to be a terrible pick. They were all congratulating each other. They were on TV during the draft, the Bengals front office, like high-fiving each other and just, you know, congratulating each other when they got Dax Hill in the first round. I was like, congratulations on drafting a backup slot corner in the first round. And they're like congratulating each other like they just won the Super Bowl. Then they'll do great things like get Cam Taylor Britt in the second round in the same draft. Everybody's saying, you know, you need to get Penny Sewell. They go Jamar Chase. That worked out great, although Sewell's really good too. Let's get to this real quick. Who's going to coach special teams for the Buckeyes? Not Parker Fleming.
Yeah.
That's no. Obviously, it's not Parker Fleming. That finally, I don't know how he ever got that job. Nice guy, but I don't know what Coach Day was thinking there, but at least he's finally rectified that. Sounds to me like it's going to be Matt Guerrieri, the safeties coach, but they're also going to do kind of what they did more under Urban, is have like different guys, like when Kerry Combs was in charge of the kickoff coverage unit, for example.
Yeah,
they call them the piranhas. They call them the piranhas. I think it's going to be like that, but I've heard Guerrieri is going to be kind of the point man.
Well, that's a good thing, I think, at this point, to kind of have it spread out. Because, I mean, think about it. A punt return unit is wildly different than a kickoff coverage unit. You're doing different things at that point. So you should probably have a couple minds doing each side of the ball, right? I mean, and at the end of the day, too, some of the things that we've seen with a special teams coach the last few years resulting in some of the dumbest special teams things we've seen ever. I think the special teams coach is a wildly overrated thing at this point. So if Matt Guerrieri is going to have, at the end of the day, the lead role for it, great. That's fine. Just sign it to somebody. Make it a normal part of your playbook like you would for a lot of these other roles. You're going to have your kick specialists and everything. And then punt return and kick coverage and kick return and all that other stuff. This should not be rocket science. And honestly, with all the mistakes that were made the last couple of years on it, I almost wonder if there was a lot of overthinking that went into it. So at the end of the day, I am interested to see how it shapes out, but I'm honestly agnostic of the whole situation. So
Jermaine on Facebook says, why the hate for Derrick Henry? No. I think you're looking
at it. We hate seeing him in the same division. That's what we hate.
Ultimate respect. It's like when you play, it's like when Ohio State played Alabama in the glorious 2014 Sugar Bowl, really the de facto national championship game, the first playoff game. One of the great favors that Lane Kiffin ever did for us was decide to have their quarterback, one of the worst quarterbacks they've had, throw the ball a bunch and not give the ball to Derrick Henry that much.
They gave it to TJ Yeldon the whole game.
Yeah, TJ Yeldon had more carries than Derrick Henry. And was it Blake Sims? Was that his name? Was it the quarterback? Yeah, that's how Blake Sims had, I think, over 30. I think he had over 30 pass attempts. Von Bell picked him off. Obviously, Steve Miller had the pick six. Tyvus had the pick at the end of the game. Not really on the quarterback there, but he had two costly interceptions included. I mean, I can't believe to this day that he didn't give the ball to Derrick Henry more. So
we were saying it the whole game.
We're saying we don't like him going to the Ravens because we're in their division. We got to play him twice. Bax is a Steeler fan. I'm a Bengal fan. We got a bunch of Browns fans in the house. We don't like playing Derrick Henry twice a year now, man. That's what we're talking about.
Dave, I still remember vividly sitting with everybody watching that Sugar Bowl with Alabama and just going, why are they running TJ Yeldon on one leg? Derrick Henry is twice the player. And then Henry got it and ran like a 20-yard touchdown or something. And I remember going, well, they figured that out, huh? And then they did give him the ball for like two quarters. And I'm like, this is the greatest bad decision of all time. It was the stupidest thing Nick Saban's done in his entire coaching career. And I genuinely mean that.
I need to make Bax laugh real quick and talk about Patrick Murphy's favorite thing in the world, joy mode, and a great deal you guys can get. And then we're going to talk Ohio State, Iowa, tomorrow, Big Ten tournament, 10 versus 7. If Ohio State wins that game, they're moving on to play Illinois. They then beat Illinois, the number 2 seed, top 14 team in the country. My friends, they're probably going to be in as an at-large team, which is insane that we're even talking about that. And then what would it take for Jake Diebler to keep the job? Would that be enough after everyone, myself included, left them for dead? There was no chance they're going to make the NCAA tournament. If he gets them there, is that enough? Does he need to win at least a game If he gets into the Sweet 16, I think it's a lock. We'll get Bax's thoughts on that in just a moment. But again, the thing, you know, Patrick Murphy continues to text Dan Rubin about this and myself in the middle of the night. It's like, I love that he loves joy mode, but too much information, my friend. I think I speak for most men when I say we want to be at our best in the bedroom. The issue is that over-the-counter pills and that help in that department contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several other health problems. That's why we partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. I don't know about you, but I'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode. Small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go, it's the perfect travel companion. I mean, I'm talking about Patrick Murphy. Steve Hellwagon's covering the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis right now. And he's texting me talking about how he had to bring his joy mode with him. I'm like, again, too much information. I'm glad you like it, but you don't need to text me about that. But you guys, go to usejoymode.com/bucknuts and get 20% off with code bucknuts at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code bucknuts at usejoymode.com/bucknuts. Great sex solved naturally. There you go. All right. Just like making Bax laugh on a Wednesday morning. All right. Jake Diebler. What's it going to take for my man to keep the job?
It would take a lot, I guess. I think he's done an incredible job. Let me start with that. 5-1 right now is awesome. If you know he goes and wins a game or two in this tournament, then all the better, right? If they make the NCAA tournament and they win a game, like they're going to probably be like a play-in team in Dayton or something. So if they win a game or two in the tournament, also great. But do you give the keys to what should be a top 25 basketball program to a first-time coach in Diebler? I even with the success he's had, how do you know that his recruiting cachet is going to be up there to walk into a recruit's room and go, no, come play for me instead of Tom Izzo? And then you look at other guys like Dusty May, all the stuff we're talking about with Diebler doing great. Dusty May took FAU to the Final Four.
Yeah.
It's more proven. It's just a better resume.
I mean,
like, unless Diebler takes his team to the Final Four this year or something, you know, they'd have to go on a tournament run for me to go. It's hard to turn away from that. I just think when you have an alternate like May sitting there, I don't know what Diebler can necessarily do to get himself the full-time job at Ohio State. What Diebler's doing right now is guaranteeing himself the opportunity to be a head coach at a program in the very near future, plain and simple. I have to think that regardless of what happens with this season for Ohio State, I don't know how Diebler keeps it if a guy like Dusty May is sitting there. And I'm just trying to be real here. And that's not a knock on what Diebler's done. I wish he'd had this team all year based on the results we're seeing from him, because this team would be sitting in a very pretty spot. And I do think they make the NCAA tournament. I really do. If you're the committee and you look at this team, what's happened since Chris Holtman got fired, it's hard not to say, hey, they've beaten, what, three tournament teams in their six games? They look legit. I think they get in. They need to win their first game in Indy. And then after that,
yep,
we'll see.
Yeah, that would get them to 20 wins, and you're right. That would then, even if they lose to Illinois, that would put them at 6-2 under Deebs, would get their net just above 50. It's sitting there at 54 right now. A win over Iowa would get it just over 50. Iowa's actually a little behind Ohio State now in the net. Ohio State's jumped Iowa, who was a bubble team, still considered a bubble team, but now Ohio State's like – even more of a bubble team than Iowa. It's crazy what he's done. And, you know, the committee should take that into effect. And, you know, some people say they definitely will. We'll, you know, I hope they do. They take injuries into effect. Hopefully they take the fact that this team, at the very least, if they beat Iowa, will be 6-2 under Diebler. As you mentioned, with the win over number two Purdue, win at Michigan State, blowout win over Michigan. They also just
– Nebraska.
They beat a 22-win Nebraska team, third seed in the Big Ten. Yeah. They beat them pretty handedly. Rutgers, not that good, but Ohio State was only favored by 1.5 points on the road. Buckeyes win that game by 22. Yeah. Just smoked them. just smoked him. I mean, Diebler, there is something about him. And you could argue, like, well, I mean, they made Ryan Day. Now, I don't think Ross Bjork would do this. I think Gene Smith might. I mean, Gene Smith didn't even interview anybody else. Now, I think right that ended up being a good hire by Gene Smith. I think Ryan Day has proven himself. You know, this is a huge year for him, as we all know. But I think Ross Bjork will probably go with Dusty May. I think you're right on that.
Ryan Day is also in a very different situation than Diebler is. Ryan Day was the hottest coaching commodity in the sport. And he was coming off of multiple successful seasons as the number one assistant on a top two or three team in the country. Ohio State had no other choice but to keep him at the time. He was the obvious guy. Everybody in the country wanted to hire Ryan Day that had a coaching opening coming up. I mean, that's just where he stood. Diebler is a guy here who's done a great job in an interim role. And I can tell you, like, all the MAC openings and everything else are going to be looking hard at him. But I think it's just they're in a different spot, man. Diebler at this point in his career is not Ryan Day whenever Urban Meyer was considering stepping down. It's just the reality. But I think also if Dusty May comes here, I think we do everything we can to keep Diebler on staff because clearly he has shown that he is a very, very valuable person.
That would be my dream. He might be as I don't know. He might have priced himself out of being an assistant. That would be my dream is Dusty May comes here and they retain Diebler. But we shall see. If he gets this team to the Sweet 16, I think Diebler's going to get the job. But that's got a long way to go. That's four wins. It's a long way to go. Great stuff out of Bax. Really appreciate it, Bax. You can catch his award-winning column every Sunday. It is The Bucket. Get on bucknuts.com to check out The Bucket. Thanks again to Matt Baxendell. Thanks to all of you for tuning into the show. We appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Go Bucks.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.